Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here and for listening every day around Douglas County and wherever else you might be listening online at 541radio.com. Paul Romero, Republican candidate for governor, on with us. Paul, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So first of all, tell us a bit about yourself, your background, education, your career.
Well, I'm a 10-year Navy veteran. I moved to Oregon back in the fifth grade. Grew up in Central Oregon, Prineville. I went to college first to Texas for about a year, but had to tie knot into my rope because I was putting myself to college. Joined the Navy, did that for 10 years, like I said, and honorable service. Got to cross the line of death off of Libya. Got to spend time down the Persian Gulf in Turkey. And just a kind of an all-around career. Also spent a lot of time doing project management in the oil field and some other interesting things. Broker for Payne Weber. Just kind of a little bit of everything. But finally got back to Oregon, which is where I wanted to be for a long time. And once I got back, I was a little disappointed in what's happened to my state. So it's kind of been time to step up and do something.
And in 2020, you ran for the U.S. Senate. Talk about that.
Yes, I did. We ran for that Senate seat. It was kind of interesting. Somebody had dropped out of a CD4 race and jumped into our race. But there's a whole big story behind that. But basically, for the 2020 race, we saw that something was kind of odd with the elections because each candidate was getting the same percentages initially reported in every county within 1 to 2/10%. Now, the thing that really stood out like a turd in the punch bowl was that one of the candidates wasn't even in the voter's guide. So people in Eastern Oregon had no idea who this person was. And yet, he was still pulling the same percentages in Malheur County, Crook County, as he was in his home county. And we knew right then there was something not right about the election. But downside was we didn't have the funds to afford a hand canvass in all the counties, which is what we would have done. So we just had to kind of suck it up and take the results. But in the end, we ended up with just over 30% officially based on the current voting systems. And, well, that was done on about $10,000. So we had a lot of, we had over 3,000 volunteers. I mean, my whole campaign was volunteers. There was no payroll at all. So we really ran a good, solid campaign. And now we're set up for the governor's race with about four times the admin people, an actual campaign manager that we're paying, very qualified, and, we're headed in the right direction. The best part, though, is right now for Oregon, and it has to do with every voter, is that we have to expose the fact that Oregon voting has been run and controlled by Dominion Voting Systems Incorporated. And most people don't even know this. So that has been a, kind of like the big hidden tuna for Oregon, and it's stinking.
Now, have you already formally filed for governor?
You can't actually file to run for governor until September 7th, I believe.
And so now you've got folks out there. Why jump out there so early?
Well, we've actually been planning on this since about July of last year. If we've learned anything is that, you prepare early and you're not rushed. You kind of take your time, you develop your strategies, try to figure out what you're going to be dealing with so you can be most effective. And for us, that's worked out really pretty well. The funny part is it's also pushed other people into jumping in and trying to catch up in the governor's race. But so far, we really don't see anybody as real competition in this race right now. And believe me, there's plenty of people, but many of them are rhinos. Many of them are never Trumpers. And we need a real conservative Republican running as our governor, running for governor this time around,
Do you think it's achievable to win in a state that has been increasingly progressive in terms of who wins elections in recent years?
Well, see, that's just it. First issue is the fact that Dominion's been running things, so we have no idea what the legitimacy is to our elections. That's the first problem. The second thing that really is telling is that last election, November, 26% of Oregon voters are registered Republicans, 36% are registered Democrats, 6 are independent, and 32% are non-affiliated voters. Now, what's important about this is that we're always told, oh, the progressives, the liberals, the left, they outnumber us, and we can't beat them, so what's the point? And that's the message that gets beamed out to everybody, and people just believe it. It's just not true. The Republican Party has been losing members exponentially, and the Democrats are about a year, year and a half behind that schedule. So what we're seeing at since the last election is that all the establishment parties have been losing voters. The non-affiliated voter ranks are actually increasing. People are fed up with establishment politics, establishment parties, and them getting nowhere and getting nothing done except for abusing the public. So really, that's kind of what we're seeing. And my biggest thing is the message to, well, NAVs, if you're Republican, re-register as Republican. Step back up. However, as a governor, you know, I'm not running to represent just Republicans or just conservatives. You know, it's kind of like being a foster dad. You actually have to take care of all your children, right? Well, I got to take care of all of Oregon. And so far, we've had governors in office that have most definitely not taken care of all of Oregon.
Now, you recently released a contract with Oregon. Let's go through that. Talk about that. Sure. And I guess, first of all, why the contract with Oregon?
Well, you know, the first thing was I remember back in 94 when Newt Gingrich came out with the Contract with America, and he basically made Congress work for the first time in forever and held them to it. And they accomplished a great deal in a very short period of time. That is the possibility that exists within any government, you know. The problem is there's too many people milking the system, earmarks and what have you. So for me, it came down to I hear all these people that are politicians, which I do not consider myself, and they say, you know, well, when I get an office, I'm going to work on the timber industry. I'm going to work on that, and I'm going to do, yeah, big whoopee ding dong ha. Everybody can say that. It's just lip service. Once they get in, they find some excuse to not do anything. And for me, I said, you know what? Let's call our shot. We're going to tell Oregonians exactly what we're going to do. We're going to give them some insight on how we're going to accomplish it, and we're going to let them hold us to it. So part of my deal is it's not just about me as a governor. It's also about the legislature. So the people that I've been vetting to run in these legislative races, the goal is to basically, listen, here's the contract with Oregon. Are you, as a candidate, willing to back this up and do your part to make this happen? But if you got a problem with something or you got a better idea, let's hear it, you know? And this way, Oregon voters can actually hold us accountable, truly accountable, for what we need to be doing in the first place. And then we just go do it.
One of the things you mentioned in this contract document is selecting an auditing firm to conduct a comprehensive audit of the state budgets. Talk about that.
Yeah, what's funny is one legislator told us, oh, we already do that. Well, as you noticed, we just had a audit happen, and they claimed, what, $3.9 billion unintentional worth of errors, right? And I thought, okay, does that mean we have $3.9 billion more in the account or $3.9 billion less? And so far, no one's explained that error. What I think is this, is that a lot of money gets dumped into the general fund, and then all that money in the general fund, that slush fund, gets distributed into all kinds of things. My question is, how do they budget for that? You know? So I think a lot of money gets distributed to things that really weren't budgeted. And we have to look into that, see where it's going, and shut off the spigots if that's what's needed, and actually fiduciarily manage the money of Oregonians for a change.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Republican candidate for Governor Paul Romero with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson ahead at 1 o'clock. Shannon Sebastian with your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, just days away from retirement, outgoing president of Umpqua Community College, Dr. Deborah Thatcher, will be with us. Republican candidate for governor, Paul Romero, joining us this afternoon. We're going through his contract with Oregon. Next thing that you mentioned is talking about infrastructure, computer systems, things like that. We've heard a lot, especially since the pandemic started, about issues with employment department computers. Also, the DMV has come up in the past as well. What needs to be done with some of the state's infrastructure?
Well, it needs to be completely and totally revamped. And you know, there's been all kinds of federal funds dedicated to this. However, our leaders in the state have not actually employed those funds to these issues. Now, one of the biggest issues we are faced here in Oregon is a free and fair and transparent election. Now, what most people don't know is that currently 20 counties use ES&S hardware and software. ES&S is actually owned by Dominion. The other 16 counties use Clear Ballot, Hart, and Hart Verity, and all those are actually have Smartmatic software at their core, which is connected to Dominion. Now, we recently found out, got a screenshot of a search that came up that actually showed a connection between Dominion Voting Systems, Inc. and Oregon Secretary of State's Facebook page. When we went to the Facebook page for the link, it had been actually deleted. And this happened last year. And since then, the actual link, the search, comes up zero. In other words, it's already been scrubbed off the internet. So one of the problems we have here in Oregon is that we fundamentally have a Dominion voting system that we can't trust. And they're not letting us, the public, actually know and understand how involved Dominion is. Now, Stephen Trout was our elections director. And he actually worked for Dominion before he came to Oregon. And then when he left Oregon, claiming that our systems weren't secure and what have you, he's actually now down in California working for Dominion. All I can say is this: Oregon voters, we need to go back to polling stations and ballot counting by hand so that we all as voters can trust the result. Because I'll tell you now, Oregon for 30 years has been suffering. No one's fixing the problem. And I ask everybody, I don't care what your party is, how is your life actually better with the people that have been running the state? And the answer invariably is, well, it's not better. Well, then it's time for a real change. And being moderate is not that change. Being moderate or left is definitely not that change. So for me, I offer the real conservative Republican choice, you know, and I'm really a big believer in the Constitution and treating everybody equally and fairly. So these are really the issues that I think we're most facing right now. We have to guarantee a free and fair election. And right now, I do not believe in the slightest that we have that here in Oregon.
One of the other things you talked about is revamping the Department of Human Services and Child Protection Services.
Yes, yes. Well, here in Oregon, you know, we had a little issue with a whole bunch of children going through Child Protective Services that are missing, that Child Protective Services cannot locate, cannot find. And what's interesting is that child trafficking and human trafficking is a huge business in this country and this state. The I-5 corridor is notorious for this. The crazy part is I don't hear any legislators or the governor or secretary of state or anybody talking about this problem. And with CPS and how they're dealing with family and children, I'm sorry, but there's obviously a huge breakdown there, and that needs to be investigated and people held accountable. That's one of my pet peeves is this: if you're going to cross the line, you better be prepared to do the time. You know, I'm a firm believer in accountability. So again, we have to get back to some basics. And for parents, and having been a single parent and a foster parent, you know, I understand these things. I've been in the middle of it. So it's just we have to be able to expect our federal and our state agencies to do their jobs, do it legally, protect our children, and basically maintain the public trust. It's not such a hard thing, really, but apparently there are those that are kind of gaming that system a bit, and we got to figure out in detail and publicize exactly what's going on instead of hiding it.
A big chunk of the state budget goes to education. What would you do differently with the State Department of Ed?
Well, first thing is this, is that for all the money we spend on education, we're in the bottom five of all 50 states for education. Okay, so obviously the unions here in Oregon are not helping. Those teachers' unions aren't about the students, they're about the teachers. And fundamentally, we've seen just a huge downturn for the whole state. We have students that are basically getting free passes where they don't really have to know how to read and do math and basic things. We've gotten away from basic education and giving our students the tools they need to get out in life, survive, and thrive. You know, for me, my first degree is in workforce education and development. So I'm a real big believer in student-to-work programs as well as adult-to-work programs. And I know how those can work. So whenever somebody tries to challenge me, say, well, you're not really socially aware. The heck I'm not. Not only am I socially aware, I know how to socially fix some of these things. And we have too many people that get into office claiming their social status, where they stand for social issues, when in fact they've done nothing to fix it. So they've increased the homeless problem. They've created Oregon, turned Oregon into a mecca for drug users. And it's just getting worse. So, you know, all these things have to be addressed. Believe me, there's a lot of work to do, and I won't have to do it all alone because I do have some awesome, amazing people that I'll be bringing in as part of my team. So, but we're going to go after it.
On the financial side of things, what are your thoughts about something like zero-based budgeting?
Well, you know, one of the things I kind of I like to talk about really is how to be more fiduciarily responsible. If you have a given budget and you're maintaining and doing the job you need to do in a given department, say, right? Well, the next step is how do you save money for the department? So how do you not spend all your budget? And everybody gets in this attitude, well, if I don't spend my budget, I won't get this budget next year. You know, you can't penalize a given department just because they're actually being responsible. And we've literally got that whole incentive of being responsible worked right out of the system. So to me, I really think that's where we got to start. And just because somebody actually saves money in the department and still does the job, well, guess what? The next budget, well, they should still have their same budget, but you can take that credit, whatever they didn't use, and just kind of push that back into the general fund that gets redistributed back to other things that might be needed. You know, you got to have some flexibility. But you have to have transparency. And I don't know if you've ever gone to look at our budget. It is a mess.
About a minute.
It's hard to track down much of anything.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. I mean, it's early in the campaign. What kinds of things are you out doing already?
Well, I do a lot of Facebook Live broadcasts Wednesdays and Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. I'm one of the few people that's not been kicked off Facebook for speaking my mind. And I don't pull any punches about anything. And I kind of attribute it to the fact that I did work for the NSA when I was in the Navy under the Naval Security Group, and that may give me a protected status mainly for them to keep an eye on me, see what I'm up to. But in the meantime, we have that. We're on Telegram. We spend a lot of time meeting with people, individuals, and groups. I'll be in Bandon Friday, 6:30, for an event, and we're just going to be getting out and meeting a lot of different people. We have a plan, the strategy for the entire state, and we're employing that plan. But some of it's just opportunistic. Just what presents itself at the right time. So we're being very flexible as well.
All right, out of time for now. Paul Romero, thanks for being on with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kyle. Really appreciate it.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.